You're listening to Morning Edition on Red River Radio. Commentator Gary Borders joins us now. He has this appreciation for the late Monk Willis, a Longview businessman, civic leader, and advisor to President Lyndon Johnson.
I picked up a book Monk Willis gave me recently. Monk passed on 2 years ago at the age of 94, his mind sharp to the end. I think of him often, especially when I finish a fascinating historical novel or watch Democrats and Republicans argue to the brink of the fiscal cliff. The two endeavors Monk enjoyed most were reading books and following politics. Smoking cigarettes would have been his third favorite activity, but Monk gave that up right after turning 93. Not because the doctor told him to, he decided it had become too expensive a habit. A retired surgeon who dabbled in Republican politics and brought judicial candidates around to meet me at the sundry East Texas newspapers I ran over two decades, served as a matchmaker. "There's someone you need to meet," he said. "He's 92 and another dang liberal like you." I met a man with a full head of straight white hair and gray eyes staring unblinking from behind owlish plastic frame glasses. His bushy gray eyebrows served as punctuation marks when he talked, and talk he did. Monk regaled me with stories about running Lyndon Johnson's political campaigns in East Texas, serving as a delegate at four national Democratic conventions, working in D.C. as staff director for the House Veterans Affairs Committee, and of course, what books he was reading. He bought books by the carton, adding them to the stacks heaped in his study, since the shelves had long been filled. Books sprawled across the dining room table, more piles arrayed around his easy chair in the front living room. His taste inclined to history and political analysis, though on occasion he would delve back into Greek mythology or philosophy. He subscribed to the New Yorker magazine for more than 70 years, along with an armload of other magazines, from Mother Jones to Texas Observer. An insomniac, Monk would read into the wee hours, then go online to read newspaper websites. One of the first times, I was at his modest house on Noel Drive, where Monk lived for 64 years. I asked where he bought his books. "Why, on Amazon, of course," he snapped. Monk had a brittle relationship with his computer, cursing it bitterly at times when it wouldn't do what he wanted, which usually resulted because he had clicked somewhere and gotten lost in cyberspace. I would get a call to come fix his computer, which usually involved simply restarting it. His circle of friends included anyone who interested him, from the mechanic down the street to the powerful and aging lions of Texas politics from the 1960s and 70s. His funeral required four Presbyterian ministers and eulogies from two federal judges who considered him a mentor. But Monk lived modestly, once complaining to me when his Kenmore refrigerator conked out after 55 years. He was outraged to learn the maximum warranty he could buy on a new one was 3 years. My father died a few months after I met Monk. After my father's funeral, I received a card from Monk who wrote, "All that we can know about those we have loved and lost is that they would wish us to remember them with a more intensified realization of their reality. What is essential does not die but clarifies. The highest tribute to the dead is not grief, but gratitude." Monk's note ended, "I'm sorry we didn't meet sooner, but let's try to make up for it in the time I have left." I believe Monk and I did make the most of our short time we had together. I miss him still, as do many of his friends.
Gary Borders' work is at GaryBorders.com. Email him at borders@redriverradio.org.